We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 44. Chapter 13 has several parables in it. I used to wonder why Jesus had so many parables about the kingdom of heaven. And I came to realize that it is God's will that all of us make it to heaven. And he is giving us the perspective of heaven and how we enter into heaven, how we enter into the kingdom from different points of view so that we get a well-rounded understanding of what it means to be saved. This morning, I want us to consider this little parable here, one verse, but it is a powerful little parable about buying the field to get the treasure. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let's pray. Fathers, we come before your throne, made to realize, Lord, that many people, when they find the treasure of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven, rather than buying the field, they want to just steal the treasure. Lord, I pray this morning that you would make it clear to us that we might understand that we have to buy the field to get the treasure. And Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Speak your truth. Open an understanding that we may grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want you to see about this little parable is that it is a hidden treasure. Look at what he says here in verse 44, the first part. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, the mistake that is made so many times by people who think they're entering the kingdom who are not, the mistake is that they try to get the treasure without buying the field. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But I want you to see that the gospel is called a mystery of godliness. You see, Jesus came into the world to deliver us from our sins. He came into the world to save us and to set us free. He did not come into the world just to give us salvation. He came into the world to set us free from the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin is a horrible bondage. Until we realize that, we're not really interested in being set free from the bondage of sin. But that's what God sent Jesus to do. Look at Matthew 7:21. We'll see the mistake that a lot of people are going to make. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The will of God in our lives establishes the lordship of God in our lives. When he says that we are to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, we are going to have to want to do that will. You see, God has an opinion about everything. We're either listening to the devil or we're listening to God in everything that we do. And so here he is trying to explain to us that there's going to be a lot of people who show up at the great white throne judgment thinking they're going to heaven only to find out that they missed the boat. And so Jesus puts all these parables in here to help us understand the truth so that we don't miss out and just have some kind of pseudo-religion that does not save. A lot of people have been inoculated with the gospel. Now, what I mean by that is they've got just enough of it to make them feel comfortable with the religion that they're in, but when they stand before God, it's not going to save. The whole idea that I can have the treasure without the field is a false ideal. That I can pray the prayer and get saved, and that I don't have to have any strings attached to me after that, that won't work. I remember witnessing to a woman one time, and I explained the gospel message to her, and I said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And she said, "Why not? Might as well. If it's free, I take everything that's free." Now, I realized that she wasn't comprehending what we were talking about. I said, "Well, do you really want Jesus to rule your life and get in church and begin to serve him and live according to his dictates?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, then you don't want to be saved." She said, "Well, if that's what it means, no, I don't want to be saved. I want to run my own life. I want to do whatever I want to do." Well, you see, I could have led her in that prayer, and all that would have done is inoculate her against the gospel. Because the next person that come along to try to get her to be saved, she'd have just said, "Oh, I've already done that." But you see, that's not salvation. It's not just the ones that say, "Oh yeah, Jesus is my Lord." Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you?" That's a pretty good point. You see, if we're not willing to follow the Lord and do God's will in our life, even though we may struggle with that, if that's not our purpose, then we're not really interested in being set free. And so the mistake that we make, those who are going to miss heaven, is the mistake that you can have salvation without Jesus even in any way affecting your life. It's not going to happen. Now, the mystery, it's a hidden treasure. Listen to what he says here, 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, do you see that, what he's saying here? The mystery of godliness is in Jesus Christ. Whenever we receive Jesus Christ, what we are receiving is godliness. He is going to transform us. He's going to work in our lives when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, because what we're doing is we are accepting his will in our life. That's what it means to buy the field. That's what it means when he says the treasure's hidden in the field. But in order to get the treasure, you got to buy the field. The field is the will of God. Surrendering to the will of God. Wanting God's will in your life. Now you say, "Well, I don't know if I can always do that." Well, you won't always do that. But you can always desire it. Every one of us either love the darkness or we love the light. We either want to live in our own will or we want God's will in our life. And it is that desire that determines whether or not we get saved. If we don't want godliness in our life, we don't want Jesus in our life. You say, "Well, I just don't want to go to hell." Well, there is no plan B, folks. You get the whole package when you receive Jesus as your Savior. If you don't want the whole package, you can't have the treasure. And so that's what God is trying to show us with this little parable. It's very important. Don't miss heaven because you want to run your own life. It's not optional. Now here's the message. Now listen to the message that John gives us here in 1 John 1:5-6. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Understand what he's saying here. Here's the message. You want Jesus, you want light. Because he is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no middle ground. He's saying, do you want to walk in the light or do you want to walk in the darkness? If you want to walk in the darkness, have at it. If you want to walk in the light, then you come to Christ. Because he is in the light. And that's where it's at. He will keep us in the light. Now, the next thing I want you to see in the second part of this verse is this is a happy treasure. Now, look at what he says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. God is not punishing you by giving you his will. Do you understand that? If you hear about the opportunity to be set free from sin, to live in the light rather than in the darkness, to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, you hear about that, if you say, boy, that's a lot to give up, but I don't want to go to hell, you missed the boat. You see, if you feel like this is a hardship to put yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit, it's a hardship in your life to have Jesus change all your fun and to take all that and begin to set you free from all that. If you see that as a bad thing, then you don't want Jesus. But if you hear that and you say, I can be set free. I don't have to live under the domination of sin anymore. I can live my life free. Then you see there's joy in that. And we're glad to embrace Christ because we love the field. We love the treasure. You say, well, what's happy about it? Well, first, there's forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. You see, when we hear the gospel message, we come with all the baggage of our guilt and our sin. And we have all the things that we have done and all the things we have yet to do, and all of that filth in our life can be forgiven. Listen to Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Think about that. What Jesus is offering in this treasure is the joy of forgiveness. You can have the weight of your sin lifted off of you. That's why it's joyous. And you can have the chains that bind you broken off of you. You can have all of the things that you're struggling with. You can be set free from all that because Jesus has died and has purchased for you forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? That's a joyful, happy treasure. And whenever a lot of times we say, well, I just don't know if I can live up to that. Well, you can't. But you see, Jesus can. He can begin to work a work in your life. It is not a matter of whether or not Jesus can do it. It's whether or not you want it. You see, a lot of times we fool ourselves. We think we want to be free when really we don't. We can love our sin and we can have all this in our life that we don't want to turn loose of. And we say, well, I just can't help myself. That's just the way it is. But you see, when we get right down to it, God's way is the best way. And whenever we fall in love with God's way, whenever we say, I want to be free, I want to live right in the center of God's will, that's when we're on saving ground. You see, that's the field that we have to buy to get the treasure. Because part of the treasure is the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, When we receive Christ as our Savior, we become sons of God. We become joint heirs with Christ. And because of that, there is a tremendous fellowship that we can enjoy with Jesus. There is nothing in this world that can replace that. There's nothing in this world that is better than that. There's nothing in this world that should ever be compared to that. Fellowship with Jesus Christ is where it's at. That's what life is about. Listen to what he says here in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is shouting ground, folks. That's where it's at. And so whenever we realize that this fellowship is available to us, do we want it? You see, you can't hide from Jesus. Jesus knows your heart. There were a lot of people that came to Jesus and they saw the miracles that he did and they believed on him. But he would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in their heart. You say, wait a minute, what was in their heart? They just wanted to be saved to miss hell. They didn't want to be changed. You see, the light is real important to Jesus. He didn't come to keep you out of hell. He came to make you holy. He came to make you righteous. And in process of that, he'll keep you out of hell. You see, Jesus Christ died to free us from sin. Some people don't want to be free. And the ones that don't want to be free don't want Jesus. You see, the principles that Jesus sets down for us to live by, those are wonderful principles. But if you don't like them, they won't work. Jesus came to set us free. Listen to this. Where you're at or what you've done, Jesus can set you free. Amen? He can set you free. Listen to what he says here in John 8, 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's good stuff. When Jesus comes into our heart, it is to set us free. When we continue on in bondage, it's because we want to. You see, God warns us over and over and over again that we're to beware of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We are to walk in the center of his will. We are to desire to be in the center of his will. Those people who do not desire to be in the center of his will do not desire to be saved. Now, nobody, let me make this clear. There is nobody on this planet, if they believe there's a heaven and hell, that wants to go to hell rather than heaven. Nobody. I mean, that's foolish. So everybody wants to be saved, quote, just because they don't want to go to hell. And anybody in their right mind, if you say, you choose heaven or hell, well, I choose hell. You know, nobody's going to do that. But you see, we have been sold a bill of goods in our time. And that bill of goods is, you can have the treasure without the field. All you got to do is steal the treasure. You know, he found it out there. Nobody knew it was there. He could just grab it and go with it. Don't have to go to all the trouble buying the field. But that's not the way it happens. But in our day and time, I am convinced that a very high percentage of people who call themselves Christians have tried to steal the treasure out of the field. To say, I'm going to be saved, but I'm going to run my own life. I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior. I'll get baptized. I'll join the church. But don't tell me how to live. I'm going to live any way I want to. You see, you can't steal the treasure without the field. If you don't want Jesus to transform your life, you don't want Jesus. And to be inoculated with a false gospel is a foolish thing. Whenever we don't want transformation, we don't want interference in our life, we don't want Jesus. Jesus said, if you continue my word, I'm going to set you free. A whole lot of people say, I don't want to be free. I want to enjoy my sin. And then when I die, I want to go to heaven. You see, that plan is not available. That's not something that's going to work. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name did many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because they were living their own life. Jesus said, whoever shall lose his life shall find it. But whoever saves his life shall lose it. You see the change there? The trade is this. You have to give up your control in your life so that Jesus can take over. That's what it means to lose your life so you can find it. And when Jesus takes over your life, he's going to start changing some things, because I promise you, his philosophy doesn't line up with your philosophy. And if you want to see all that, read the Sermon on the Mount. He'll tell you his philosophy of life. He'll tell you what to do. When this happens, this is what you do. When this happens, this is what you do. He starts with the attitudes. Then he gets down to the actions. And he lays it all out. And then his invitation at the end of all that is this. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'm going to liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I'm going to liken him unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the tests of life are going to come on both houses. One will stand, one will fall. Thank God for the test of life, because it reveals in us and to us whether or not we really want to buy the field. Do you want Jesus to control your life? That's the question. There's nothing better than to have Jesus control our life. One of the things that has happened in our day and time is that people are too proud to humble themselves before a congregation like this. People don't want to humble themselves and give themselves to Jesus. You see, that's the first step of letting Jesus take over in your life. Jesus says, whoever will humble himself shall be exalted, but the proud shall be brought low. And whenever we allow our pride to keep us from Christ, it's a foolish thing. Then look at the last part of this verse. This is a healthy trade that Jesus is asking us to make. When Jesus puts his philosophy of life in front of us, he says, listen to me. The devil messed you up. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, your whole thought processes are messed up. And so you can't do what you need to do on your own. You can't live like you need to live on your own. Let me tell you, here's what you should be. And then he lays it out. He says, blessed are the meek. See, that attitude is very important. It means to be under the control of God. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, want to be holy. He says, when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. See, all those things kind of go against the grain. Everything that Jesus lays out there is contrary to our human nature. And he says, no, what you need is new life. And that will begin the change in your heart. It will begin to change the attitude of your heart. It'll begin to change the actions of your flesh. It will begin to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ, who lives his life through you. But you've got to want that. You see, if you don't want it, don't sign up for it. Understand what you're signing up for, or stay away from it. Because whenever you say, I want to be saved, what you're saying is, I want Jesus to control my life. You say, well, that wasn't what I was saying, then you're still lost. If you don't want Jesus to change you into the image that he has set forth in this world, then you're on the wrong track altogether. Because Jesus wants to set you free and change who you are. And what he's asking you to do is a healthy trade. Listen to the last part of this verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof, listen to this, he sells all that he has and buys that field. He says, this is how serious you need to be about this purchase. You need to be willing to sell out on everything else. Don't hang on to anything. You say, well, I've got this one habit that I really like. Sell out. I've got this one idea that I don't want to turn loose of, and I know Jesus is going to take it away from me. Sell out. Sell it. Don't hang on to anything. You got to lose this life so that you can gain eternal life. And whenever we sell out, then we can buy that field. And it's a healthy trade, folks. You see, there's all kinds of questions that come into our mind when we think about doing things God's way, because it's not our way. It's not according to our natural response. God's responses are different. And so there's a lot of questions that come up. But I want you to know, Jesus is the one who's right. We're wrong. Our human nature is wrong. Jesus is right. What he's asking us to do is trade death for life. Listen to 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now you see, what Jesus is saying to us is, I want to take you from death to life. Ephesians says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We must be born again. And that is what God is calling us to. But you see, you can't take shortcuts. You got to come just as you are, desiring to be changed into what Jesus is. He's asking us to change darkness for light. This is a biggie for a lot of people. Listen to Colossians 1, 9 through 13. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. Listen. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want. You say, well, there's going to be a lot of hardships along the way. It's all necessary. God knows what he's doing. He's got it under his control. I trust him. I want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I don't want sin at all. I don't want sin to even lurk around me. You see, I believe Jesus knows what he's talking about. I believe Jesus knows how to run my life a whole lot better than I do. And I want him to take over everything in my life. And that's what it means to buy the field. He's inviting us out of despair and trade that for laughter. Listen to this, Ephesians 2, 8 through 13. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Despair, no hope, and in Jesus we have hope. Now, folks, I believe this parable is extremely important in our day and time when it is so easy to sign up for Christianity. You can go anywhere you want to, pray a little prayer, get your name on the roll, you're good. But you see, you missed the boat that way. Because without a desire for Jesus to change who you are, you don't want Jesus. And just trying to miss hell, it's not going to get the job done. And I believe that Jesus is warning us. I believe time's running out. And I believe that there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people who are sitting in church pews this morning who are going to go to hell when Jesus comes back. And I believe that because I don't think people have bought the field. They tried to steal the treasure. It's not going to happen. Now, I can't do anything about all those folks. But I want to make sure that none of us misses heaven because we've been deceived by a false gospel. Make sure this morning that if that's what you want, is Jesus' control in your life. Now, you may not be able to accomplish that. That's God's job. But if you desire for Jesus to transform you into the image of his Son, to set you free from sin so that you never ever sin again. If that's your desire, then that's saving ground. But if you're one of those people who just, I don't want Jesus messing with my life. I don't want him tampering with my fun. I just want to go to heaven when I die. Then what you need to do is consider whether or not that's what you really want. Because until you come to the place in your life where you say, I want the Lord's way in my life right now. I want his control on me right now. Not off in the future, but right now. Then you can put your trust in Jesus and he'll save you. But it's not until you're willing to have his lordship in your life. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. You've promised that your word will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you sent it. Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst this morning that has never really put their trust in Jesus because they had no desire to be transformed into his image, that you give them great courage and humility to follow you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Lord said, if we are ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father in heaven. The first step of obedience is to publicly profess Christ as your Savior. If you are lost, what you need is Jesus.